Well, surely we all know it is unnatural for a bird of the air to be like an animal of the land, or an animal of the land to be like the bird of the air. We know that it is unnatural for man to fly. We know that it's unnatural for man to breathe underwater. It's unnatural. That is, it's not in accord with our nature. We were created with certain faculties, with certain ways of life that distinguish us from the animals, as we have heard in the morning service. The Lord has endowed us with reason, one of these marks that distinguishes us from the animals. There's reason. And just as it is unnatural for man to breathe underwater, just as it is unnatural for man to fly, it is also unnatural, and is much more unnatural, for man to keep the law. It is impossible for man to keep the law of God. It's unnatural to our frames as fallen human beings, as fallen sinners. We think of Zechariah 5 and the scroll that's 15 feet tall and 30 feet wide, and it's coming into every single home, seeking to see whether men and women in these homes have transgressed the law. It's seeking to show them their sin. And upon looking at this law, upon having this law come into your house, upon it coming into your heart, with God's pronouncement to search you out, what else can we say but we have transgressed the law, that we are convicted sinners, that there is no ground for us to make excuse, that there is nothing we can say but that we are convicted sinners and we are condemned. The condemnation is our ultimate end, if not for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can think of, I think it's Jehoshaphat in 1 Kings 12, where he says, "Will ye not lighten my burden? Will ye not ease my yoke?" After knowing his own sinfulness, after seeing these things, these are the cries that a condemned sinner ought to cry. And it is to these people, to those of you who are aware of your own sinfulness, aware of your transgression of the law, it is to you who is seeking for the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking ease, that the Lord comes in this passage and says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We are in a necessity for an intervention, a supernatural intervention, to keep the law. If we are to keep the law, we need the Lord Jesus Christ. We need Christ's Spirit to indwell us. Otherwise, it is entirely unnatural for us to keep the law. And so the Lord says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." And he says, the reason, you ask, why? How can it be that this, he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." And you ask, how can I have rest? How can I ever receive rest? And he says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Right? Contrast to all we know about regarding the law, all of this heavy burden of sin and the heavy burden of a transgressed law and a vengeful God. That's the heavy burden. And he says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." And so let us consider this verse, verse 30 of chapter 11 of Matthew. We'll consider the terms first, yoke and burden. What do these mean? Of course, a yoke and a burden are pictures of a condition or a state of servitude, a condition or a state of enslavement. We hear in the Old Testament often of the Israelites being enslaved to Egypt or having a heavy burden in the land of Egypt. We see this also in the New Testament, this use of bondage, this use of a yoke and burden. And Paul refers to the law as a burden, not to go again unto that law that was a burden. But here in this text, in Matthew 11:30, he says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." That is entire allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ. Keeping his commands, observing the law, is easy and light for Christians, easy and light for those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Easy and light, kind, serviceable, pleasant, beneficial, right? That's what this word easy means. It's a very broad term. And it stems, as we see in verse 28 and 29, it stems from the Lord's meekness himself and his own lowliness, that he is a master that is meek. He is a master that is easy and light, and so he requires of us easiness and lightness. That's what he gives us, easiness and lightness. The Lord says, I took the form of a servant. Right? He is the rose of Sharon, as we know, the lily of the valley, the most meek, the most low. And so we are to be like our master in this regard, low, meek. And so he gives us an easy and light yoke and burden to supply those demands. And so when he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, he's saying the services that I shall require of you are easy and light. We see this in the Old Testament reading, that he commands us not impossible things to a regenerate Christian. He commands us to love the Lord. He commands us to love the Lord. And thus in so doing, we can keep his commandments. We see this in John 14, 15. If you love me, you shall keep my commandments. So to take Christ's yoke is to become so captive to the Lord in love that you're willing to give all service and obedience to his law. And of course, this keeping of the law is not sinless. We can't keep the law perfectly. All of our best doings are done with a mingle of sin, a taint of sin in all of our doing. But the Lord says in Ezekiel, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. He says in Hebrews 8, I will put my law into their mind and write them in their hearts. And our confession, chapter 19, says, although true believers be not under the law as a covenant of works to be thereby justified or condemned, yet it is of great use to them, as well as to others, in that as a rule of life of the will of God and their duty, it directs and binds them to walk accordingly. And so we look to the law not as a heavy burden, but as a easy yoke and a light burden. That the law is here for a specific purpose. We think of the third use of the law, to direct us and binds us to walk accordingly, that it does have a function outside of just condemnation of sinners. And from defining these terms, there are two basic inferences that we can consider briefly. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And thus we can say that every human being is a slave to God nonetheless. We're either a slave to condemnation, a slave to our sin, a slave to our wickedness, or Christians are a slave to God, that we are slaves nonetheless. It's a matter of to whom do you serve, not a matter of if you serve. That you are, as the Heidelberg Catechism says, not your own. You're bought with a price. And so as slaves, we're to follow the disposition and the attitude of our master. Our master is meek and low, and thus we are to be meek and low. And he gives us and he affords us the opportunity to be meek and low by giving us an easy and light burden. And secondly, brief inference from the text is note the simplicity and the truth of the text itself. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The way of Christ is an easy way. And we come with all of our experiences and with all those things that tell us, no, Jesus, it's heavy and it's not light. It's hard and it's heavy. But that's not what the Lord Jesus Christ says. He says it is easy and it is light. It's a yoke crafted from divine love for the Christian. So why would it not be easy? Why would he who loves you suffer you a burden and a heavy yoke? It is truly easy And truly, light, there is force in these words, in this simple verse. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's easy to serve a gracious master. We love the Lord Jesus Christ, and so we should find it easy to serve him. And oftentimes we don't. What do the scriptures say? The way of the slothful is as a hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is plain, right? It's simple. There's no obstruction in the way. 1 John 5:3, his commandments are not grievous. And yet, we come and we say, easy and light has not been my experience. I see the text right there, plain as day. My yoke is easy, my burden is light, but that's just not how it's been for me. And I may be able to explain this by way of illustration. You think a yoke, it's that harness that's put on oxen to direct the path, to direct their path in plowing the field. And you think if this yoke was initially tied and fastened to an ox, and the ox is fighting and it's kicking and it's exhausting itself to the utter end, to where it's panting on the side of the field, and you ask, was it the yoke that caused this exhaustion, or was it the ox's resisting the yoke that caused the exhaustion? Is it our own sinfulness that causes our exhaustion and our own heaviness with this yoke, and not the yoke itself? Well, of course, that is the clear meaning of the text. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And so nothing else makes Christ's yoke and burden hard, heavy, and burdensome for us, but our own corruption, which flows from the depravity of our own human nature. That's what makes it difficult for us. Not the yoke, not the promises of the Lord, but our own sin. And so we will see in this text the ways in which Christ's yoke and burden are said to be easy and light. That all that Christ requires of you is easy and light, and it truly is. We will consider this in 2 points this afternoon. First point, Christ's yoke is sweet and his burden a delight. As observance to the law of God and Christ is sweet and delightful. It is sweet. We read in Psalm 19, 9 and 10, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And to the unregenerate person, the sweetness of the law of God is totally foreign to them. Either on the one hand, they say obedience to Christ is absolutely impossible, and so they run away from the law, and so they can derive no sweetness from it. Or on the other hand, you have the unregenerate man who's a hypocrite, who takes the easiness and lightness of Christ's yoke as a license to sin. And therefore, he's not deriving any sweetness from the easiness from the law. So it's natural, you can think again for the sake of the illustration, it's natural and it's easy for a bird to fly, for a bird to soar. It's natural and easy for a fish to swim. So it is. All that the Lord requires is natural. It's easy and light to the renewed man. Yet it is hard and even impossible to the unregenerate man. And you say, well, okay, I get it. I understand. The text is clear. But how do I derive sweetness from the law of the Lord? How do I derive sweetness from this yoke and burden? You say the law merely condemns and the gospel frees. Isn't that the distinction between the law of God and gospel? And that's not the full matter of it. We have to be careful that we don't end up saying that the law and the gospel are so contrary to one another that we start saying the covenant in which the law was administered is entirely different from the covenant of the gospel. We'll then say the covenant of works is purely for condemnation, and that the covenant of the New Testament covenant is purely of grace. No, but it's the same covenant. It's the same covenant. And so, again, we come to this point. How can I derive sweetness and delight from the law of the Lord? Well, we see this in a few texts. Psalm 119, Verse 44 and 45, he says, so shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty. And we see these opposite words. How can that which is a law, that which constrains, offer liberty on the other hand? James 1:25, the law of liberty. Well, how do these things work? Right, and Paul says in 1 Timothy 1, the law is good if a man use it lawfully. And lastly, our confession says, neither are the aforementioned uses of the law. He's talking about condemnation. The aforementioned uses of the law contrary to the grace of the gospel, but they sweetly comply. They sweetly comply. How can I derive sweetness from the law of the Lord? I see my own sin. I look at the law and all I see is condemnation. I see my own wickedness. I see how far I have gone. And I'm to derive sweetness. How can this be? Quite honestly, when I look into the law, you may say, I want to shut the book. I want to lull and dole myself to sleep. I don't want to look at my condemnation. I don't want to look at the wretch that I am. Andrew Bonner, 19th century Scottish Presbyterian, said, it's not the thundering of the law that awakens the consciences of our people, but the voice of divine love heard amid the thunder. That is, like Jonah descending into the waters, into this great abyss, into all of this darkness. And he says, thy billows are passing over me, thy waves encompass me. And what does he say? He says, yet again I will look again to thy holy temple. That he sees through the law, through the condemnation of him being at the bottom of the ocean, he sees the temple, he sees the Lord Jesus Christ, and he derives sweetness from it. And that is what we are to do. We are to look into the law of God. We are to look into the law of God and see our own sin and come to grips with it. So much so that we could see Christ on the other end. To not wave our eyes away to shut the book, but to sit there until we're uncomfortable with our own sin. And until we see the Lord on the other end, and it will show to us how much more bound we are to Christ for his fulfilling of the law. We see in all the prohibitions of the law what we are not to do, that we have done them all with joy in our heart. And that we see all the duties, all that it does tell us to do, and we do none of them. And yet we see that Christ has done all of these things, that Christ has kept the law to the perfect fulfillment, not only in word, and indeed, but in thought and in the heart. And not only that, but he kept the law for us, made it, and he was perfect in his law keeping. But he says, ascribe my righteousness, ascribe my perfection, my keeping of the law unto him, unto those who would but believe upon him. That's how we derive sweetness, that we look into the law dead in the face until we see the Lord Jesus Christ on the other end. And it provokes us to delight in the law. It provokes us to delight in the law, in the Lord, to gratitude and thankfulness toward Christ for his keeping of the law, as well as greater care to conform ourselves to his law and the Lord Jesus Christ. When you look at the law for a moment and you see your own sinfulness and you avert your eyes or you gloss over the text or you shut the book, you're dismissing the very means by which Christ lightens your yoke and burden. That the same law that was a very heavy burden to you in the past as an unbeliever, that was a hard yoke to you, is now the very means by which you are to desire conformity to Christ and to his service. We think of the word Paul mentions, that sin took occasion through the law and I was condemned. But the Lord Jesus Christ takes occasion through this very same law to bring about everlasting life and delight to the Christian. We are to delight in the law of the Lord because we discover therein the Lord of the law. That's why we delight in it. You think, children, for example, if you were holding a basket and someone was depositing gold bricks into your basket, let's say 20 pounds each, and they deliver 5 gold bricks, 6 gold bricks, 7 gold bricks, what is your countenance? What are you looking like? Are you upset? Are you tired? Well, you may be tired. Are you angry? No. Are you sad? No. You're joyful. You're ecstatic that you are being given gold bricks, despite how heavy they are. And that is the same with the law of God, despite how heavy the law of God may be to us. If we but look through it and see the Lord of the law, we see the Lord Jesus Christ on the other end, it will give us delight. It will give us sweetness. And then we can truly say his yoke is easy and his burden is light. That's what he's talking about. So we see that every law of God is counted by the saints to be as heavy bricks of gold, that although it may be heavy for a little while, the Lord has prescribed these means for your own sanctification, and they will result in delight and pleasure and ease. So we are to look unto the law of the Lord. Well, secondly, we'll see that Christ's yoke is easy. Christ's yoke is easy in our cross bearing and in our suffering. That there is joy and contentment even in dying to self and mortification of our own wickedness and self-abasement. There is easiness and lightness. We sung this afternoon from Psalm 68. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us up with benefits. Right, we have these contrary terms. He's loading us up. That means burdening us. But they're with benefits. That's the law of liberty, that he loads us up with these things, and yet they're still beneficial to us. That struggle and opposition, sanctification, the bumpiness of sanctification, is not foreign to the Christian. I'm not saying that. But as of now, those of you Christians who are justified, you are not in the full enjoyment of the rest that is to come. It's as if Paul says in Ephesians 2 that we're in the courtroom of heaven. It's as if we're there now as regards our legal status, that we are justified, it's as good as done. We are saved. We are going to glory if you truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we haven't entered into the full estate, the full state of that rest of yet. And we still have to cross this divide of sanctification. And it's often difficult for us. And there is why we say the burden and the yoke of the Lord is difficult and it's heavy. Because our sanctification is hard. The things that we have to deal with on this side of life are difficult. We haven't entered into the full rest of yet. And we know this from Paul. He says, so run that ye may obtain, right? Exhaustion. He says in 2 Corinthians 7, he just says it, our flesh has no rest. He says in Romans 7, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Right? That's the difficulty. We are an untamed ox. We're being tamed under the yoke and burden of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's our own resistance to it, our own sin, that causes our struggle, not the yoke. And so we shouldn't ascribe heaviness and burdensomeness to the yoke. We ascribe it to our own sinfulness. You think of an arena, two gladiators. Right? There's sin and death on the one hand, and spirit and life on the other. And they're fighting to the death. And where is this fight taking place? It's taking place in your very soul. And so, of course, this is going to be difficult in one regard. We experience that the further we grow in grace, the harder it seems. That the tighter it seems. That you think of a slip knot, where when you pull on a slip knot, the tighter it gets. And the more we are weaned off of this world, the tighter sin seems to be a hold. And it seems harder to fight the further we go. That's the benefit of Christ our Master. That the longer we reside in the Lord Jesus Christ, the further we will see the depth of our own sin, and thus we will see the greatness of his person. We will see the purity and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. what we want and what Christ's yoke supplies us through mortification of sin is to come to every commandment and every providence of God predisposed to bow in submission. That's what we want as Christians. We want to say, despite whatever providence comes my way, I want to bow in submission to the Lord God. Well, how do we gain that submission? How do we gain that disposition? It's by subjecting ourselves to the law of God, by looking at the law of the Lord, by seeing our condemnation in it, and seeing Christ on the other end again. And we have to see the further depths of our own sin. We can't ignore it. We can't ignore the law of God. Right? We read in Psalm 119, it's almost every stanza, David is saying that he delights in the law of the Lord. If you do not delight in the law of the Lord, or if you are not attempting to delight in the law of the Lord, maybe that is just showing that you are not a Christian, that you do not bear the easy yoke. If it is impossible, entirely unnatural to you, maybe that is just presenting to yourself that you are an unconverted person, an unbeliever. And that, of course, bearing this yoke, this easy yoke, and this light burden would be impossible for you. But I suspect there are many believers here who may say that this yoke is hard, and they are truly believers. We have to look into the law of the Lord. And Christ's yoke is easy, not only in our bearing the mortification of sin and self-abasement and in bearing our own cross. But the yoke is easy and the burden is light, even in suffering and death, in physical ailment. Right? Paul says in Romans 8, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And again, he says in 2 Corinthians, light and momentary afflictions, working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. When you must bear the death of a loved one, you bear the death of a parent or a child, the old master, sin and Satan and your own wicked flesh will say to you, just move on. Just move on. There's nothing to be gained from this. That this is all in vain. There's nothing for the person dying, and there's nothing for you. That's what the old master says. We say when we experience the death of a loved one, I am devastated. How am I to move on? How am I to take another step in daily life, in normal life? The person or someone in your family may pass away and you do move on. But it's upon reflection of those times that we can say that the worst times on earth are often brief flights into heaven where God has shown you grace and mercy and tenderness. Right? That's where we can say an easy burden and a light yoke. An easy yoke and a light burden. That he comes with an extra measure of the Spirit of grace in these times. As Song of Songs, chapter 1, verse 2 says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, that it is a love better than wine. And we reflect and we say, what an easy yoke is in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he can turn the worst times of my life, bearing the death of a loved one, and he can turn those into brief flights of heaven, where I've experienced and seen the presence of his grace and his tenderness more than I ever had. You think if he was willing to give consolation to you while you were a sinner, while you were condemning him, while you were ascribing impotence to the Lord, that he is no God indeed, that while you were yet a sinner, he said, come unto me. He offered consolation. He said, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How much more does he now, as you are Christian, as you are serving him and loving him, will he come unto you and say, I will give you rest. Come unto me. How much more will he give you consolation now? And yet we ascribe this yoke and this burden to be heavy and hard. It's foolishness. It's easy. It is light. What mercy there is in the Lord Jesus Christ for him to do such things as this, as coming to us in this tender moment of weakness, where he came to us while we ascribed, took his honor and tarnished it. And he wipes away every tear now. Isn't that his promise? To come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden. So there is no means that this light, that this yoke can be called hard and heavy. That Christ, in his love for his bride, for you, Christian, he takes occasion through the hardest times of self-abasement and affliction. Even the death of loved ones, maybe the hardest thing we can bear on this side of glory, as moments to present his sweetness and his loveliness and his meekness to you. The sweetness of his yoke comes forth, and we see it is easy and light. Thomas Watson says, our salvation cost Christ blood, and it will cost us sweat. You think of this yoke, we're untamed, right? We're being tamed unto the yoke. It's like we have hand-me-down clothing that we're growing into. And the idea is that we would bear this yoke faithfully enough to the extent and to the degree that this yoke would be so indiscernible from the rest of our body, that it would become one, that this communion and union with the Lord would be the very essence of our souls, that that's how we're characterized, that's how we're described. So if you are at the end of exhaustion, that you seem that either in self-abasement, in mortification of the sins of the flesh, and whatever it may be, or on the other hand, just the afflictions that come with this world, if you are at the other end, ready to just give up and just drop down, think about a yoke. Think about Christ's yoke. That a yoke in and of itself requires two people. Requires two. It's never for one ox in the scriptures. It's for oxen. It's for two oxes. And you say, well, who am I yoked to? And the answer is probably clear enough. Who am I yoked to? Can I be yoked to the Lord Jesus Christ? Hasn't he suffered enough? Hasn't he gone in his ministry and he lived and he died and he resurrected? Now he's ascended and he's on high. We're not yoked to the Lord Jesus Christ, right? It's absolutely wrong. We are yoked to him. We're yoked to the triune God. We're yoked to the Spirit of Christ, to where we can say, when I think of the one, I think of the three, as the early church father said. When I think of the three persons of the Trinity, I think of the one essence. That we are yoked to the triune God, that we're yoked to the Spirit of Christ, and thus to the triune God, the God of the heavens and the earth. And we're plowing this field. We're plowing this field of just our life, of mortification of sin, of all the afflictions. And you're plowing this field. And you're at the utter end of exhaustion. And you're ready to fall. You will fall into the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will say, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light after all. And he will take you to the other end. He will take you to the other end of the field. Christ says, for without me you can do nothing. We can't even look at our own sin in the law of the Lord without the Lord Jesus Christ on the other end. We can't look, we can't experience affliction and persecution without Christ being there for us. Christ is yoked to us. We could do nothing without him. And so if you are tempted to say and disagree with the Lord that the yoke is easy and the burden is light, think again. Think again what that truly means. Yes, you may be sweating, as it were, spiritually. You may exhaust yourself at times. But the Lord will bear the yoke with you, and he will make it easy and make it light for you. Well, we've seen two, maybe three ways in which Christ's yoke is easy and his burden is light. That it is easy and it is light. While we look at our own sin in the law of God, that we can actually derive sweetness from the law, and we can derive times of sweetness even in the hardest times of affliction on this side of glory. So let me close with this application, one for the unbeliever and one for the Christian here. To the unbeliever, things have been said regarding the easiness and the lightness of Christ's yoke and burden. Now, do not forget that there is a hard and a heavy yoke. And if you do not have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are bearing that yoke, that heavy yoke that will sink you down to the pits of hell. Just as the Christian yoke grows easier with time, that the further we sanctify, the easier it is, the further the Lord has tamed us to him, the easier it is to admit service to him. So it is on this end, that the heavier, that this yoke, this burden that you are bearing right now, unbeliever, it may not feel heavy now. It may not feel heavy right now or in this lifetime, but it will grow eternally heavy, and you will not be able to bear it. It'll be the bar of God's justice on your back, and you will have to give an account again for all of your sin. You have to give an account for every single sin. And then he will say in pronouncement against you, when you have no excuse, he will say to you, "Cursed are ye." And he will fling you into everlasting fire that was created originally for the devil and his angels. And every word in that pronouncement will loom large. Every word will be big. "Cursed are ye," into everlasting fire, created for the devil and his angels, not even created for man, not even created for mortal bodies. It was created for the devil and his angels, these beings that are superior to us in every way. And that is what you will suffer. Do not be fooled. Your yoke and burden may be light now, but it will not be light forever. You will bear this heavy yoke. And so come unto the Lord. See the heaviness of this yoke for what it really is. Be heavy laden with your sin and come unto the Lord for rest, and he will grant it to you. Well, for Christians, what ought our mentality to be? We have this light and easy yoke, and it truly is light and easy. There's no doubt about it. What is our mentality? What is our disposition? It's to count your service as your wages, your duties to Christ as privileges and mercies, that he ascribes nothing truly hard for you. And so you ought to take this easiness, to take this lightness, and to love the Lord Jesus Christ more from it. Christ himself thinks this way. John 17:4, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." And he desired to do nothing else but the will of God. That ought to be our disposition, our frame of mind. So Christ's mission was to load you up with benefits, Christian. That was his mission, to fill your basket with gold. So what else can we do but count our service and obedience as privilege and mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ? May the reading and preaching of God's word be a blessing to you all. Please stand for prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, thou who bestowest good gifts upon us, who loadeth us up with benefits, Let us consider these good things, from whom every perfect and good gift flows, that these gifts in and of themselves are good, that they have been dispensed, they have been given to us with love in thy heart for us. So let us bear them with that in mind, to bear them by loving the Lord Jesus Christ, loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We pray all these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.